Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome, welcome. Good morning, good morning. You have tuned into Words from the Word. We thank you for your faithfulness and your presence here and sharing on our Friday Fellowship of Learners. We would like to get started this morning with prayer. So, will someone on the line please bring us prayer? Thank you.
Gracious God, we come to see your presence, Lord. We come thanking you, blessing your name, O God, because you're excellent, you're awesome, O God. Lord, we come this Friday group of fellowship, O God. We ask that you open our hearts and our minds, O God. Help us glean from this author's writing what we need so that we can be better, so that we can in turn help our fellowships and help this city, this nation, and this country, O God. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your son. So I pray for every voice, so everyone that hears my voice this morning, everybody who's yet tuning in, that every family would be blessed, every household would be blessed. Bless our leaders, O God. Bless the visionary that makes us even go forth. In the name of Jesus, it is my prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I am so grateful to your faithfulness and to your presence every Friday. I thank you for carrying on in spite of my absence Friday, even though I was able, thank God, remotely to be a part of the session. I appreciate the technical expertise that just jumped right in and picked right up. And that's what we are. We are a family. We are a family fellowship of learners who have a joy in our gathering on Friday, and I hate missing it, and I don't like to miss it. And I was encouraged that I could hear Blog Talk starting at 9 o'clock, even though it was 10 o'clock where I was. So I thank you all. It was a wonderful, wonderful visit that I had with my family. And we just thank God for all of the blessings that he is just pouring down on us, opportunities that he is giving us to glory in his presence and to be a part of his program, and thanking him for his Holy Spirit bringing us into the school of the Spirit, if you will, in teaching us and bringing us into higher dimensions and levels of our kingdom agenda. And so we ended the last week with, in chapter 1, talking about, for me, it was it's a life-changing visitation. I thought it was very interesting, some of the analogies that he made, some of the experiences that he is sharing with us of his journey. And it's really becoming apparent in the pattern of those that are producing supernatural results from their living. And as we had the other book, we had read prayers that bring about supernatural results. And there were always PowerPoints within those prayers that we were to glean from because they got the attention of God. And this author shows us that process lived out in 2000, okay? The Bible showed us characters from the past. And this author has demonstrated that same pattern of PowerPoint in his association and in his walk and in his communication with the God of creation, how he acknowledges God, how he acknowledges the power of God and longs for it, and how the Lord then reveals himself to the author because of the condition of his heart, the desires of his, well, the desires of his heart, and the conditions that exist in his life. And it was always in the characters in supernatural prayers that brought supernatural results, their desire was always for something they could not possess on their own, and something that was needed not just for themselves, okay, but for the glory and honor of God and God's kingdom. And his prayers and his consecrations, his fasting, his experiences are always a result of him acknowledging God in all his ways. And God reveals himself to us when we do that. And so I encourage you to draw upon the comparison of his experiences as well as your own, and in light of the prayers that bring about supernatural results. And the thing I think that it is pointing to is prayer. It is prayer, that communication that we have with God. And it may look different for different people because of the different personalities. That's one of the things in chapter 2 it shares with us, that we're not trying to get the character of a character that we are aware of, but we want the Holy Spirit to enlighten us so that our character that God has given us, the uniqueness of who we are and what we are to do, will shine forth. And that's what he's showing us in this particular chapter coming up. Many things may be our inspiration. Many people may be inspirational to us. Many people may be foundational for us, bringing us into a new dimension, into pointing to the ocean so that we can walk out upon it. And yet it's the walk that is going to be unique to us and the need that God has for us in his kingdom. So we're looking at this encountering the Holy Spirit. And I believe that as we go through this study, we are seeing some things that happened to us, seeing some things that now are being described and given a name of experiences that we had had. Also, I believe it's an opportunity for Holy Spirit to bring back to our remembrance some of our encounters that led us to different levels and different paths that adjusted our path into our destiny. And so he starts by saying that when God manifests his presence in a room or with a person, his presence alone transforms us. There is incredible passion, insatiable hunger, and a desire to go deep to deep in him. He grips us to reveal the depth of his love and how enormous that is, and he does it in such enormous ways, amazing ways. He grips us with his presence and then showers us, if you will, with this love that he has for us in ways that we just, above all that we could ever ask, think, or hope for. And sometimes the joy is just so incredible that we can't explain it. We enjoy it and we rejoice in it. But in those times where his presence is manifest to us, there's such glorious encounters that you don't want to leave. But when you leave, there is still an anointing that has been deposited or imparted to us. And yet I believe that anointing, as it goes on, and he shared it, and as life goes and situations come and go, okay, the power, that immediate sensation and power of the presence of God kind of wanes. It's not as in the middle of a worship service. And yet so often, oh, Lord, we long for that. And I believe that's why we were told, fail not to assemble yourself together, because those are the times, he said, while you two are just there, I'm going to be in the midst. You're going to feel my presence. You're going to feel that incredible passion. Going to feel that insatiable hunger and that desire to go deep and to go deep. And we can make these like resolutions. Oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that, because you get so fired up, that fire inside of us that longs for God. And unless we continue in a fellowship, continue in a connection to people, where those people that you talk to through the week, sometimes we're on the phone and go, I just went to see how you were doing, and it ends up in a praise session. That's what it's supposed to. It's the Spirit uniting and igniting, setting on fire the passion that's in us. And so that, just like any fire, it has to be fueled. It has to be maintained. It has to be cultivated, just like in the temple with the lamp, the seven lamps that's in the temple, in the holy place. And every day the priest had to cut the wick, and he had to trim the wick. He had to fill it up with oil. It was maintained so that smoke wouldn't start coming up out of the fire. So the fire has to stay pure. And that's part of these encounters that we have with Holy Spirit, but with one another with Holy Spirit, just like with Mary and Elizabeth. The Spirit leaped within their bellies when they just came into proximity to one another. And so that coming together in worship is a very, very important and pivotal part of the things that we do. And so as the author continues, he shares with us this, like he calls it, an uncontainable fervor and zeal was birthed in him. The revelation he received in the encounter sparked this in him, and he was so on fire for the Lord that he said one day he went to his spiritual leader and said, "Can you just loan me a number of people for the church, because I want to go and win Miami and Texas for God." So it gives you that David empowerment. I can do all things. I can conquer the greatest enemies for the kingdom of God, so that people will know you and love you. He said, "I need that person that won." He just won, because the Bible says he sent them out two by two. And Christ said, "If the two of you together, you know, he'll be in the midst." And he said, "Oh, yeah, and the worship leader." So he knew that worship was going to be a part of the journey and victory for winning souls to Christ, which is probably why that's one of the greatest areas of spiritual warfare in the church today, is that musical aspect of the church, where there's so many definite people's preferences are so uniquely different, and to have a group of worshipers who some may like old school, some like new school, some like quartet, some like choir, some like solos, some like instrument, and it's always such a variety of spiritual personalities that respond to the sound of music, and that the enemy is able to bring sometimes, oftentimes, division among us just from that one session of the church. It says that the chapter one ended with the thought that the deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. And so when I saw that, it's like, this is the sound. This is the sound that draws us deeper into Christ, deeper into our spiritual walk, deeper into the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's the sound of the waterfalls of God. And he says his waves and billows, but he says, "All your ways and billows have gone over me," which indicates to me that we have to be open to all the sounds, and we must see them as necessary in the kingdom, because the kingdom says a variety of gifts and callings, but one Spirit. And so it gives us a understanding that to become one in Christ, we have to respect one another. Respect the Spirit in one another and be open always to the power of the Holy Spirit, because so often you three people can be in one place and they can hear three different things, three different sounds. They respond to three different acts of worship or sounds of worship or instruments of worship. And we need to be able in that oneness to allow that flow of the Spirit to saturate our environment. He says here that as he got this fire that he wanted to tell the world about God, he said, but he still spent hours and hours in prayer at God's feet, yearning to go deeper, craving his presence. He said he knew God was more for him, and he had more for him, and he wanted to ascend those new levels. We have to desire, God. Those new realms that God had established for him. God did have more for him, and he has more for us. He said that as he was to find out in a series of perfectly orchestrated events over the next few years, that the powerful and awesome anointing and a deep revelation of the Holy Spirit was yet to come. These powerful visitations from the Lord had literally changed his life. And as I was reading that and remembering some of the experiences we have had and how God is orchestrating this one event through these many events in our life, and that these visitations are all preparing us for the habitation of the Holy Spirit in our life in such a way that it transcends our natural man. And so we have to desire this. We have to seek this. One of the things that author shares later on in the chapter, or maybe it was in the next chapter. It was in the next chapter. But what he is saying is, you know, that God wants to release the spiritual impartation in the Christians that will keep us steadfast in our purpose. It would keep us established in the path of our destiny that God has for us. But we have to diligently seek him and desire the more of him. And that's what his prayer time and his fasting time and his study time, he is revealing to us, the author, that started to his life in such a powerful way that it literally started changing everything about his thoughts, his growth, his spiritual development, and his acceptance of a lot of things that in the past had not been something that he would have embraced. And I'm sure we can remember times and situations where different things happen in a service or in a our sitting under a teaching, and something was said, maybe just one thing, it's like, oop, nope, that's it. So he showed his offensiveness in a videotape that he was looking at, and he saw this person make all of these powerful perform these powerful miracles under the anointing, miracles of healing. His coat came off and he threw it on people and the people started falling down. And we've read in scripture about the prophet who had died and someone threw their coat in and that spirit of that prophet, okay, came forth. And so these are things that, you know, we hear on TV. You can call in and get a piece of, you know, these different doctor and father people, coat and handkerchief and things like that. And we poo-poo them. A lot of people, I put it this way, I poo-poo them. And, turn it off. I don't want to hear it. You know, they're just trying to get money and whatever. And I'm not saying that they're not. Saying is we have to be open to some things that the Bible establishes, some things that are powerful weapons of our warfare because they include the anointing of the Holy Spirit over the life of a leader. And when that leader has that kind of anointing, the things they touch, this anointing is empowered to them. This covering is placed upon them, and this power of purpose becomes united to them. I remember there came a time, and I can't remember whose teaching it was. I'm not sure, but I know that we had little pieces of white cloth after we had the circumcised, our hearts was being circumcised. Then it was covered up with the white cloth while it healed, or with a red cloth while it healed. Then when healing came through the course of the conference, then it was replaced with a white cloth. And then we often had these white cloths that we wrote on scriptures on and put in the shoes of our children so that they would stand on the word of God. So it's not that it's a ritual, but it is a symbol of what we believe, and we express it through many different symbols and things that we do. And so when we see what this individual, I don't even know if he was a pastor or a prophet. Well, he calls a prophetic revivalist. Okay, a prophetic revivalist. All right, then. That what he was doing, and he was reading, he was looking at this this video where this leader was actually slaying people, and the anointing was leaving that person, and not leaving them, but being empowered. He was able to give them, take the anointing. He would speak and say, and that showing the power of our releasing into the atmosphere. God said, if you release it, you know, heaven will acknowledge it. If you bind it, heaven will acknowledge that. And so taking this stuff so much further than we've ever taken it before to understand the power of the flow of the Holy Spirit through us when we are surrendered, submitted, and sacrificing our life to them. And so he goes on through this. Does someone have something to share? Please, please, at any time, share, because some of these experiences.
I was just going to say that, you know, as you were talking, a couple of things came to mind. One was, without calling anybody's name or anything like that, but some of the very well-known ministers who do operate in a charismatic kind of gifting, I think sometimes it is there is a tendency, because we do, in this technological age, we are able to get a lot of stuff about everybody. You know, it's like Big Brother is watching no matter who and where you are. So I sometimes see, especially the 6 months of being in the house, all kinds of writings about what people are doing, especially clerics and stuff like that. But I think it's important, for me to remember that God's gifts are without repentance. And just because somebody misuses or somebody is not doing what God requires in one area does not mean that God won't use them. I have seen some powerful moves of God by some people who really walk in a little not me, you know, I mean, where you know, and it's like, that's not mine to judge in one hand, you know. I'm not saying that we need to be sitting under teachings that we know are inerrant, because it's usually not that kind of a situation, but I'm just saying that sometimes we'll see some things and the tendency is not to believe, because how could it be God if something else is out of line? But we see in the scriptures that God uses frail, imperfect people to do his work. You know, we've seen that countless times. And when you were talking about the shadow, I believe it was Peter, where they said that if he walked through the streets, his shadow healed people. They were laying people just in his path so that if he walked by, his shadow was healing people. And we know that there are other situations in the scriptures where Peter wasn't on the right side of what God wanted him to do. But he wasn't, you know, he doesn't kick us to the curb. And thank God for Jesus for that. But I think it's just important that we do remember to have an open mind and eat the whole scroll. And if he can do it for one, he can do it for all. I think it's a matter of our faith and that we have to believe so that the power can be appropriated in and through us. But without that, you know, we'll never see some of the manifestations, I think, that, you know, that we intend to see or that we want to see, that we desire to see based on the scripture. That was it. Hopefully that made sense in line with what you were saying.
Absolutely. I think we can all come up. I know when I first read just that portion of it, first of all, I was trying to figure out who the man was. just from the way he was describing it. And later on, obviously, he tells us. But the thing was that I remember, the Lord brought back to my remembrance. And remember, this gentleman was Baptist. So he's looking like, as you say, this charismatic move. And he was kind of offended that the lady gave him the tape, saying that that gentleman reminded her of him. He was offended by that. And, you know, we read about being offended and taking offense because we can only see in the natural. Obviously, she saw beyond that, and she was sharing that with him, but she was setting him up. As he said, God was orchestrating this powerful move, and it's like by taking these individual events, and he was actually creating his song. That's the way I look at it. And one of the things I was reminded of was, I, being Baptist, I was in a service. It wasn't even a service. It was supposed to be like a, actually it was Victory Over Weight was the name of it. And so it was like this ministry that this woman had because the body of Christ was overweight. And so when I went, you know, really kind of reluctant, what is this about? And, you know, and really the only teaching and exposure I had to the power of the Holy Spirit actually was when people shouted in church. That's what they said. They got the Holy Spirit. Okay. And so there was a very limited understanding that I had at that time. And so when I came in that particular environment, I was reluctant that way. Someone had recommended me, you know, to go there, and I went. And but I was reluctant, and I was very cautious at everything that I saw going on. I was trying, I won't say I was judging it, but I was sending it through my own spiritual understanding, which wasn't near enough. Okay. And at some point in that evening, and they were like 3-hour sessions, and at some point in that evening, I was physically unable to make a judgment, you know, or to critique what was going on. I would mentally try, and I could not. And I now know that that was the Holy Spirit restricting me from blaspheming, and because I did not understand what I was seeing, and I wanted to judge it. And I would have judged it incorrectly, but he would not let me do it. Trust me, I tried and couldn't understand why I couldn't. And then I realized that, okay, what's going on here? And I even, because the meetings were taped. And so I thought, I said, you know what? Because I had all faith was faith in my Father and in his walk and in his relationship with God. And so I said, I went to my daddy and let him listen to the tape. Maybe she hypnotized me. So I'm trying to justify what I am experiencing. And then the meeting was over, and I went, wow, it's over already? So it seemed like it was maybe 30 minutes. But we had been in there 3 hours. So when I saw what time it is, it's like, whoa, wait. What's really going on? And so then the next meeting, obviously, I'm coming to with really curious eyes. I want to know because there's got to be something amiss here, okay? Powerful woman of God, powerful insight. And God knew that I needed him to verify some things for me, just like this gentleman needed when he saw that video. And then he later knew that God was calling him to where this man was, but he didn't want to go. Because he said, you know, oh, my reputation. You know, what will people think if they see me at this charismatic, you know, setting with this man throwing coats on folk and they falling out? But all he knew was God had more for him, and that's where he had to go. Now, he didn't want to go. It's like me. I didn't want to go. And then his wife said, well, you know what? Let's do the Lord. If the Lord say this, then we, you know, this, you know, you please the Lord. So you please the Lord. I pleased the Lord. And then what God ended up doing for me, just like he did with this gentleman, in the midst of the service, you could see these miracles happen. With your own eyes, I saw them happen. And yet, there was still hesitation in my spirit because I wasn't used to seeing Holy Spirit like that. I was being introduced to him in a way that I had never knew he existed. What this powerful woman of God did, she singled me out. Now, just like this man in this story, when he said he came and then he went back and he went, ooh, phew, good. And yet, oh, I really did kind of want him. No, no, I really did. Okay. But something is drawing you. And I remember I was sitting there and you know, women have their things they do, you know, every month and order or whatever. And mine were extremely unique. Extremely unique. She started to, and I was in the midst of that time of the month. And so she started describing it as she was walking down the aisle. And I thought, she better not come over here. But then the more she talked, I knew she had to, because God was talking to me through her. There was no way this woman could have known this. And then, you know, she was very, it was very unique, not unique, but it was not unusual whatsoever for her to lay hands on people and, you know, like this guy threw the coat and they fall out. She would say something, she'd touch him, whatever, and that was it. And I was thinking, I hope she don't touch me, okay? Because still, I'm not in disbelief, but I'm in unbelief. And what she did, she said, she walked up to me, and by this time it's like, when she got through with the story, when she got to me, I knew it was talking. God was talking to me. And she told me to stand up, and so I did. She said, now you lay hands on yourself. And I thought, oh, I didn't know you could lay hands. I'm from a Baptist church. You know, then you do with your hands was clap, wave, and, you know, that's it. And she told me how to. She told me where to. And I did, and just like this gentleman said, what he did with his mom, and literally, you know, the fire could come. He saw it, felt it coming through his fingers to his mother, and it was that kind of experience. So it showed me because I have long forgotten it, you know, the whole experience. But as this gentleman was explaining it and sharing his encounter, it brought back to my remembrance the orchestrating event that God has placed in my life. And that's what this is to do, to awaken us to the flow of the Holy Spirit. And I understood that at that time, I had no understanding. I had no knowledge. Now, I did possess wisdom that God had given me, but I didn't. Remember, this is a sevenfold flow of the Holy Spirit. But there were things of the flow of the Holy Spirit I did not possess. I definitely possessed, started the journey with the fear of the Lord. My grandmother put that in me, the fear of the Lord. I had that. But I did not understand that the Spirit of the Lord could actually be upon me. I thought that was just for Jesus. You know, the Spirit was upon him to preach the gospel and to set the captives free. And as these rivers or these flows of the Holy Spirit became, what I want to call it, not apparent to me, as I became introduced to them, then the more and more of God's presence I was able to bask in, I'll just say that. And it really changes a life. It opens you up to dreams and visions. It opens you up to God revealing some of his mysteries and his treasures to you in moments and in times in your life. And they're all orchestrated together to keep you, to establish you in your destiny and in the path that he has for you. Incredible happenings that it became a time where, just like with this gentleman, once it happened to him and his wife was there as an acclamation for him, because obviously she experienced it, and it started stirring up in his inner man of deep things of God. And I know we say that, well, what is a deep thing of God? But they're not the surface stuff. They're not the stuff for my gimme prayers, do for me prayers, you know. But these deep things are the things of the calling forth of the prayers that get supernatural results. They're the prayers that are focusing on the acknowledging God in all His ways. The prayers that are focusing on the names of God, the power of God, and the purpose of God, and the fact that His purpose has given me purpose. And so when these things start becoming, it's not stuff that we did not know on a level, but not on a ocean deep level. We knew it on the stream level flowing from the sanctuary, you know, that stream that trickled down and went around your ankles. Then it went up to your knees. We know about all of that. Came up to your waist. But this submerging into the depth anointing and position is what God is calling us to, because He needs us to be there so that the impartation He has given to us, we're able to give to others and help them become free, help them see His word in action. Insights, experiences, some of your own experiences.
Well, over here, this Pastor Rogers. When I was reading Keith Miller, what he had went through, and I believe me, I went to see Benny Hinn plenty of times. And when I first went to see Benny Hinn, I was curious, but I wanted what I saw other people getting. And when I was there, he asked everybody to raise their hands, and then those that felt the heat, and to come forward. And not only did I feel the heat, I just thought somebody had my arm, so I opened my eyes to see who it was, and it wasn't anyone there. So I went down, and when I got down, I looked. It was two of us, and my cousin was on the other side, and we was looking at each other like, "What you doing here?" Because I was Baptist, and she was Church of God in Christ. And then when he touched us, we both hit the floor and looked at each other. Then he said, "Pick up." And he said, "This is for your ministry." Well, and I went right back down. My mother was there, too. My mother was also there. But we went right back down. And then I asked God, "What is my ministry?" You know, because even at that time, I knew I wanted God. But I wasn't seeking for no ministry. I'm learning. The ministry is giving what's in the inside. This is my view of a ministry. Everything that God give me, I minister it out to someone else that want to receive it. And that's what I learned with Benny Hinn, because my sister didn't believe it. So I said, that's why you didn't receive anything. Because we can be in a place where the anointing is going so high. And if you don't believe it, you're not going to receive anything. He said we first must, what, believe. And I have some encounterings that I have been in the Baptist church, and I received the anointing because Luke 4:18 is where I first found out that the anointing could come upon us. And that scripture, God had me scrutinizing. Now, you know how you have to keep digging and digging. And he touched me. He said, "Now start a Bible class." And that was 1997, and it's still going on. So, and the Bible class just wasn't for me. It was for the other people. And it was a lot of family members. You know, when you can get 20, 25 people in your family to come to a home Bible class, you know it's God. But it's so much that I see in these first five chapters, but anyway, in the first chapter, I thought of even Jonah. You know, Jonah didn't want to do it, but the anointing was there. He had to do it. So even though we may not want to do something, if God put His Holy Spirit in you, you got to obey. And I was thanking him for that part, because sometimes we have a zeal, and that zeal might go in front of God. You know, we want to do something that God didn't tell us to do. I'm going to put it this way, in my experience. And God said, I didn't give you that. So then you have to be able to rest. That's that love. When God told me, he said, I didn't even call you for that. I was wanting to do something else. And then he let me rest, knowing that that wasn't what he told me to do. Mm-hmm. And going back to what you had spoke about, one time I was with my pastor, and I went into this edifice. I call him that because sometimes God will put Ichabod, and I didn't know what Ichabod means. But I went into this place, and it was a denomination, and they were jumping, and the music was going so loud, and I looked at my pastor, and she wasn't jumping. I was glad she wasn't jumping, but everybody was jumping and screaming and hollering, and I didn't ask the pastor, they pastor nothing, but sometimes I go to the leader, but I asked the musician, where y'all been playing that music? And they told me in the lounge, and I said, and that was lounge music you all was playing, but the people, you know, they saw the music, I guess, different. I don't know what spirit that they had covered over the church, because I tell you, I don't be looking for them demons, but I know it wasn't of God. And I explained to the musician, be careful, because if you continue to try and fool God's people, you won't be playing music. Those were, you know, those was my words to them. And I saw one of them again, and when he saw me, he smiled. We was at another church, and he wasn't playing with them. But I know when we receive the sevenfold spirit, then we will connect, and we will identify those that's not worshiping. That's what, thank you, Lord. Those that not worshiping God, so we don't go in following the crowd or following the music or just doing something because you see other people doing it. So it's a lot to me with this sevenfold spirit. Oh, and one more other thing I wanted to share. You're talking about putting the word of God in the children's shoes. Because that was something my mama taught us too. But my brother was in jail, and he had to go to court. And he said he took a scripture out of the Bible and stood on it. And he didn't know. He got out of jail, I put it that way. So because of he believed. And when we have faith in God, God say, I'll show you. That's when he'll bring you up and show you those things that we know not. So I just thank God for the Holy Spirit. And the fear of God was the first thing my mama said, now you got wisdom. Because when we learn to fear God, you get that revelation that he is, what she say, he my boss. So we know that God is the true boss over our parents. So I just thank for reading the book, because it's bringing out even more. You know, it's another revelation that God has given us when we already had so many encounters. He can I'm learning now more meaning of what the encounters that I did have with God.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody else?
Anyone want to talk about that deep places in him? That's at the end. I think it's at the end of chapter one, I believe. You kind of touched on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I believe that what we have to see, first of all, deep has to go to deep. Remember, this is precept upon precept, line upon line. We don't go from the sanctuary into the deep. There is a journey, and that's why I wanted us to see the connection with the saints that did the prayers in the for supernatural results. They didn't go from nothing to something. Their life had a process that included encounters, it included moments of surrender, it included moments of repentance, it included moments of submission, and so there were many things that bring you to the deep. And most of those things are things we don't necessarily rejoice in getting or doing. But in the reward of diligently desiring and seeking God comes that intimacy that just cannot be explained. And so we did. We wanted people to, what is deep for you? What is the deepness of God? And no matter where we come and what we say, we haven't touched the surface of it. Because it is so deep that it's something that's just revealed to us line upon line, precept upon precept, experience upon experience, encounter upon encounter, and each one sets us up to go to a place that we've never gone before. And so I love the way he shared of the fact that it was Benny Hinn, and that the fact that there was a stigma attached to his ministry by other denominations and people, and they frowned upon it. And yet they frowned upon Christ as well as he worked the miracles that he worked. And so the author was very honest in his presentation of his journey, because in each one of these experiences, he ended up at some point broken and frustrated because he had forgotten. He said, at that moment, I remembered the statement. He said, well, first he said that for 2 years he had had such powerful encounters with the Lord. But then on one morning in 1994, the Holy Spirit started stirring his inner man, reminding him of those deep times. He started releasing a great hunger within me, the author says. He said, because I had forgotten his presence. So no matter how powerful of a time we've had, we forget as we go forth. Remember when the prophet was on the mountain, he called down fire from heaven and rain from heaven came. I mean, he did Baal's priests, and he had that awesome victory. And then the next thing we know, he's in depression under a bush, okay? So we forget, and no matter how great the anointing, okay, it can always be greater. But sometimes we rest at a place that we just think is phenomenal because no one else is at this place. But it's because we need to then remember. He said at that moment he remembered the statement that was made many times. If you look back and you see that you are more passionate for the Lord. No, when you look back and see a time that you were more passionate for the Lord than you are now, that means you are backslid. And God is married to the backslider. So he lets us know it's going to happen. You're going to get to a place that, you're going to be so ecstatic about God and you are just running and leaping over hills and mountains and whatever, but you will have forgotten that he parted the Red Sea and that all of you really remember is that you're leaping over hills and mountains, but you forget. You've forgotten because that's what happens to us. The further we get away from something, we really do forget. And so these encounters have to be in such a way that keep us before the Lord, which is what his prayers and his fasting did, so that the Holy Spirit can show him, you have backslidden, because that powerful deepness that you felt back then, you're longing for it now. And that's because obviously that situations in life come and flood your life to a point where they don't push them out, but they kind of negate them. Okay, and so he says he understands this, that what he offers to the Lord was sometimes that had a profound significance. Wait, now understand this. What I offered to the Lord was something that had a profound significance and importance in my life. This was not just a religious cliche. He said he loved to preach. He loved to minister. But he told the Lord, I'll give it all up. He said he would give it all up. If he never preached again, he didn't care. The only thing he wanted was God's holy presence. And so he shares this. He says that I gave up my success in the business world. It was my deepest passion to preach and minister for the Lord. It was like fire in my bones. So when I say I would give all that up, it was no small gesture. The only thing he wanted was the Lord's presence. And that's when the Lord has pressed out the world and the flesh from us. And the only thing that's left is the spirit that cannot exist without intimate relationship with God. And that's when the physical has no value for us at all. And so he's saying that that's where God wants us to be. He talks about Eden. It was like Moses on the mountain when he declared in Exodus 33:12-14, when he shared with God, you know, you want me to do this? He said, but I don't know, you know, by what name. Who are you? What is? And then he said, you know what, because you know what? I'm not going if you don't go. It doesn't matter, you know, what proceeds. I'm a man leading a million people into a place of prosperity. But none of that matters unless you're with me. None of that matters unless this nation is your nation. And then God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest, which is something that Pastor shared, that the Lord gave her rest. And this rest comes in the fact that he said, you will know my name, and his presence will be with you. And he said, this is what rest means. God's presence will give rest to his people. That is, his presence soothes you, it comforts you, it settles you, it consoles you, and it quiets you. But it also means that the resting of the Spirit of God is upon you. And so that means you've gotten to the place where your emotions are no longer triggered by circumstances and situations. It got to the place where there's no longer a situation that rattles you or causes you confusion or chaos. There's nothing that will, offend you. You will always be consoled. You'll always feel loved. And you'll always, your flesh will be silent. The flesh will be silent. That's what quiet us means. It means that it is quiet because now you're given the Spirit of God. That's that other fold, one of the folds of the Holy Spirit. It is rest on you. It means the resting of the Spirit of God is upon man. It says, oh Lord, I need your rest. I am asking for you right here in my office. If I find grace in your sight, and I know I have grace because Jesus said he gives me grace. So these are promises that we stand on. These are precepts upon precepts that we, for real, that we can declare and decree. He said, I'm asking like Moses. I'm asking for your presence to be upon me right now. I want your glory. I want the glory to come and rest upon me. I don't care if I ever preach or minister again, but there is one thing I have to have. It's your holy presence. So it says, oh God, I long to see your power and your glory in the sanctuary. He said this became his prayer, and I loved it because he said every morning at 5:30. Well, every morning, or every Tuesday morning at 5:30, we are praying. We are praying, and we are longing to see God's power and glory in the sanctuary and in the world and over the seven mountains. He said, read it, pray it, and cry it out every morning at 5:30. Then he later on goes to say that when he finally shared this with his wife said she was doing that same prayer at 1:30. So I was reminded of our prayer on Tuesday is at 5 and it's at 1. And so half after the hour, okay, was also a time that they got together and they prayed the same prayer and they weren't even together. We want the power and the glory of the Lord in the sanctuary. What are we willing to sacrifice to get that? What are we willing to surrender to receive that, to receive God's power. And so that basically was the encounters, and the result of the encounters, actually some of the experience of his encounters and how they culminated into the place that he's into now. It says there's a healing flow of the Holy Spirit, and it's right now. And it really is healing in all of the ways in which we are broken and in need of, whether it's spiritual, mental, emotional, financial, no matter what, there is a healing. And there is a flow of the Holy Spirit to bring rest in that area of the in that area of the lives of the people that we are sent for to influence. So, insights, revelation, questions.
Overseer.
Yes.
I can remember. Yes. Good morning. I can remember when I had been seeking the Holy Spirit, and yes, it was so from one church to another, and I knew God was sending me safe from where I was to a new beginning. And God had, you know, said, you won't be going anymore. So you know how you saying, okay, I'm going to try to fix it. And you can't fix what you hear the Holy Spirit leading you somewhere else. So
yes.
My son, my doctor, it wound up being my doctor, and my doctor invited me to an event. And I was on, it was benches, it was no phone, no TV, no nothing. And as I was in the place, and we was in the, and it wound up being an apostle at that time. And this lady was preaching the no-name women of the Bible. I never forget it. At the end of my bench, I mean, at the top of the bench, and I'm like, I've never heard the anointing to flow like that. And the word, she didn't have no book, she wasn't reading. And she was just flowing, and it was the Holy Spirit was just in her. You know, she was just going forth. And I'm like, the no names of the Bible. Where's all this coming from? All this in the Bible? I never even heard it like that. And when I got back to my room, I just, you know, laid prostrate before and just, you know, because you couldn't watch TV, you couldn't, you know, had your phones or nothing. But it was the most awesome experience ever. And I asked the Lord, I said, where is that church at? I said, that's where you're sending me. Well, and my son was like, I'm not going back to that church we was at. And so it wound up, prior to us leaving, we was at home one day, bowls start coming off the counter, and you know, and I was like, well, I will do it right. My mama always taught me, and grandmama, you got to do it right. You don't leave one ministry without, you know. And when I called to say I'm just going to come and get my letter, they closed the church and closed the gate. Well,
what?
My car stopped, a van picked me up, and me and my son, we went to the house, and they said, well, you make a meeting, but you don't come here. And I said, well, I just let you know I'm out of, you know, I'm leaving this ministry. But anyway, to make a long story short, I saw in that, and I found Apostle again, and I brought one of the ladies who was a church member and a leader to me, a spiritual person, and she visited many times as well. But I believe without a doubt, and I know without a doubt, God took me there. And my son would just, I would go visit anywhere else. And that was in 1999. I think in 2002, it was October the 16th. And I think today is
her birthday.
Anyway.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit said that. It was October the 16th, 2002. And I came, and we joined the ministry. But it was my son would run out the car anytime I went to any of these other ministries. He said, drop me off at Labors for Christ. They have an hour of power. You can go wherever you want. But they say I can stay there. And it says a child shall lead you. And I that never leaves my spirit because, you know, God knows what he's doing, when he's doing it, how he's doing. And you all was I was from Georgia, so I was hugged. Uh-huh. You know, it wasn't that kind of ministry, but y'all was a word ministry. and I'm still here because God ain't saying go nowhere, you know, and I'm sure, like, you know what? You know, but I just thank God when He give you where you need to be, and that was from my doctor to my apostle to you all for words for the word and everything else. To God be the glory.
Amen. 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 Powerful testimony. Powerful testimony. I love it when we can see that everybody's story, though it's different, it's the same. It still involves us. Being invited by God, and it's somebody, God's people, somebody took their ministry took the value of their ministry to heart where they invited you somewhere. You know, and that's how it happened even in the prayers for supernatural results. It was always somebody that led somebody to the place they needed to be in order for the Lord to develop and establish them in his kingdom. And it's sometimes it's orchestrating, as the author said, many events together and then knitting them in together and ending up with this tapestry of our life that he has for us. And so, and the journey that we should be on. And so I love it when the author was he was appalled that not only was he busted out for being at a Benny Hinn place, but he said, there goes his reputation, you know, which is that religious traditional thing. That so we have to depart from it. We have to say, not that reputations are bad, but sometimes they limit us in the scope of what God is for us because we got God in a box. So he had him in a Baptist church, but God wanted to flow through that Baptist church in a charismatic way. And so he made sure he brought someone in there that he could trust with his anointing to release it over those people. I'm sure they're no longer Baptist, but now they're Christian Baptists. So in other words, they are ready to receive what God has for them, no matter what it looks like. You know, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what tradition says about it, but they have that flow of the Holy Spirit that gives them the discernment of knowing that it is of God and it should be embraced. And in embracing it, we grow. We grow and we're put in positions where we are useful in the kingdom of God because our hearts have been circumcised of all of its preferences, of all of its standards that have been put there before, of even some very valuable traditions. But some traditions are not relationships. And so it's just like when a family, two people marry, and your family may have a tradition and your spouse's family have a tradition, but now you have to make your own tradition. So it's not that one is right and one is wrong, or you do this one or we do that one. We make our own, you know, because this is our journey and our relationship. And then it just branches off, and then your children will make their own. They won't necessarily rest and stay in your traditions, you know, but they branch out because now two more people are coming together. So that's how the body of Christ is. You know, you may start in a Baptist church, but we end up in the kingdom of God. As citizens of heaven, not necessarily members of this denomination and that denomination. You know, it transcends those kinds of walls. And it goes, he said, go into the world and get nations and people. Okay? And so as a result, make them disciples of Jesus Christ. And so we do thank God we don't condemn anybody. We don't have a preference for anything other than those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be on chapter 3 next week. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit and embrace his ministry as you come to know his ministry in ways that you've never known before. So,
amen.
Have a blessed day.
Have a blessed day.
Amen.
Have a blessed day.
Yes. Glory to God.
Have a blessed day.